Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, the 9th of January of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Milton, Michigan, where I live. And I've got to say, hats off to Michigan for winning. Congratulations to the University of Michigan football program on a big win in the college football national championship game, 34-13, taking down number 2 ranked Washington. You know, despite all the odds, there were odds stacked up against them, including even, yes, the sign-stealing investigation, where I think no signs were stolen. Okay, let me rephrase that, because I'm sure everybody steals signs of some kind. What I mean by that is, I mean, I do not believe that there were any serious offenses by Michigan's program or its coach. I do not think that there were any serious wrongdoings. I think everything was done by the book to the best of their ability through the coach and the players and all that. And I will say something that the coach said last night after the game. He said, "Who's got it better than this?" And then he said, "Nobody," which I thought was really cool that he said that. The big thing that sealed it was a huge 84-yard interception return that set up the final touchdown for Michigan with like 5-6 minutes left, something like that. It didn't matter how much time was left on the clock at that point. What mattered was it had sealed the fate for Michigan. I mean, yeah, that Michigan was going to win. You know, unless Washington was to do anything crazy, like miraculously intercept a pass or something and take it straight down the field and then, like, score a play later or something. They didn't do that. Instead, Michigan ended up with the win. Huge national championship win. Unlike the 1997 team, they don't have to share the championship with anybody. Back in 1997, where back then I was not into sports yet, I was like an 8-year-old. But my mom wasn't big into sports. You know, me and my brother, you know, we had a single mom. And so we weren't really watching football at that time. I was very little. I didn't start watching it until like 02. Started paying attention a little bit in 01. But at that point, I was playing video games, football video games and such on the Nintendo 64, which actually was not a bad system. The N64 was not a bad system for those of you who are gamers. I mean, the graphic, I can see where people might say, well, the graphics aren't the same as, you know, other systems like PS2. I would say it doesn't sound the same either as PS2. But, of course, now they're even more advanced compared to what they were. But anyhow, unlike 97, they don't have to share the championship with anyone. In 1997, they were co-champs with Nebraska, who is now a Big Ten member, like us. And Nebraska is long removed from their dominance of like the mid-90s, like 1995, where 1995, I would say, was their most dominant year. And yes, I had watched some of these key games from the 1990s, at least bits and pieces of them, from a certain YouTube channel where different people have uploaded some of these games from the 1990s, including, yes, the 1996 National Championship, which was Florida versus Florida State. Florida being in the Southeast Conference, Florida State being in Atlantic Coast Conference, and Miami, yeah, in the third conference, but Miami was not in that game. But I was mentioning Miami because Miami was a dominant team throughout the mid-80s to the mid-1990s. Miami was a force to be reckoned with. I think when we look at the last 3 years, specifically the seasons of 2021, 2022, and now 2023. I think we can argue that Michigan has been one of the most dominant programs. You're using bias? Well, I'm from Michigan, but you see, TCU, Texas Christian University, that was a one-year wonder. Georgia, we could have said, was in the hunt both in 21 and 22, but then this year, because they lost the SEC championship game to Alabama, that kind of lowered them down a bit. But that doesn't mean they didn't cry. It just gave Michigan a greater chance. So, of the last 3 years, I think we could argue that the best teams of the last 3 years, when you put together all three of those years, you could say Michigan, you could say Georgia, I would say the big one the last 3 years, big couple have been Georgia and Michigan. Have been like the key two. And for those of you saying Alabama, this, Alabama, Alabama, you know, well, we beat them this time. We beat them. I'm not saying like, oh, Alabama's no good anymore. But Michigan, they have depth. There are people that, you know, McCaffrey, it's seeming like the quarterback, McCaffrey, if Harbaugh goes to the NFL, McCaffrey very well could. But if Harbaugh stays, McCaffrey could easily stay for his final year. You may say, what about running backs? We have lots of great running backs right now. Some that have been waiting to be put in, like Cole Cabana, the kid that I went down and seen play my alma mater in Midland High. I went down to Dexter on Veterans Day of 2022. In that game, Cole Cabana was being used as a wide receiver. Now, I know on the depth chart he's listed as running back, but I think you could use him as a wide receiver. I do. He did a great job catching a couple of passes from Dexter's quarterback. There was good and bad in that, I would argue. The bad thing about that game was that Midland lost 42-7. The good thing was Cole Cabana caught two long passes, which showed that at college level, if he needed to be, maybe he could be used as a wide receiver this next season if push came to shove. Or running back. My hope is that next year he'll be part of the story. He'll have some time, some minutes. I think he got minutes in a few games, but they were minutes in games that were blowouts. And it's unknown when the parade will be. But I do think they'll have a big parade in Ann Arbor. For next season, that schedule gets a whole lot tougher. Because we got to play Texas. We got to play Washington. Got to play Oregon. In Oregon, I believe, got to play USC. It's not going to be an easy season next season for Michigan. But if we play like we did these last few games of the season, again, the last four games especially, including, first of all, taking down that team to the south, then taking down Iowa, then taking down Alabama in that close game that could have went either way. And lastly, taking down Washington. Washington had won the nine games leading into this game for Washington. Each game, they won by 9 points or fewer. 9 points or fewer. But then last night they fall by 21 to Michigan. I would say it's a great day to be a Wolverine fan. Great day to be a Michigander. And the last thing I'll say about this before I get into the rest of my show, figured I would do my sports football update right from the get-go tonight because I'm sure people would be wondering, like, aren't you going to say something about it? Well, yeah. I'm doing that right now. And this is the first time since 2008 that we had a high-profile team from our state like that was in the national spotlight, win any major national championship. The last team that did that, believe it or not, the last team that did that was the 2008 Red Wings. Took 16 years to get a trophy at anything. We had some close calls. Yeah, we had some close calls. I don't mean close call like in a negative thing. We had a few that were close but didn't get it. 2009 Michigan State basketball, where the big national championship was held in Detroit. 2013 Michigan basketball, 2018 Michigan basketball. Along with the 09 Red Wings, where they took it to a game seven. Like, that's what I mean. We had a few that were close, pull through. But this Michigan team, this 2023 Wolverine football team, they didn't just barely put it together and muddle through and somehow do it with 1 second left. Though that would have been sweet if it would have been. But they take them down by 21 points. I'm sure people in Washington, I'm sure people in Seattle and Washington State, I wonder if someone in Seattle on one of the Washington affiliates is now screaming about Michigan stealing, might have stole Washington signs. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I'd be curious to find out. Anyhow, go Blue. I'm going to move on to the rest of what I want to say for tonight and getting to the word of the Lord. And by the way, folks, last night we talked about making God your first love. And how we shouldn't have idols. No human should be your idol either. And certainly no athlete, no team. No sport. Say, Miracle Man, did you really just say that after talking about the football? Yeah. Yes, I did. I don't want to be rude or anything. But, God's good with us having interests and hobbies and things like that. But he doesn't want it to get in the way of him. Okay? Amen. But, let me just check my... But I want to remind you of a couple quick things. It's not a robbery. It'll be okay. It's just stuff that I try to mention every night. But the first thing I want to remind you about is about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how God has always been there for us. And, no matter what we faced, God has been there for us, meeting our needs when it really mattered. Even those times when I was super little and I wouldn't be able to remember them. But I can rest assured knowing that God was looking out for me. Yes, I can. And I'm grateful that my mom got saved, gave her life to Jesus before she had me. Because what if she hadn't? What if she had not? But God's been there. God's been looking out. And so, amen. You can go online to the website riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. Amen. The other thing that I would like to remind you about is about the PayPal. If this program has been a blessing to your life over these last years that I've been doing this, basically 6.5 years now, coming to you like this, bringing you the Word of God, and just ministering to you like this, and having fun doing it. I hope you've been enjoying listening to it. Amen. I know it's been helping people. I know that for a fact. But if you consider sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program, and when you sow your seeds, I thank God, and I get notification about it. I thank God for your seeds being sown. I really do. And I take note of it, and I pray. This is not bad ground here. When you sow into the Miracle Man program, it is good ground. It really is. And you can rest assured. I don't use it to try to profit off it. No. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. In the search bar, you will want to type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Not the other one like the book, which is R-I, but R-Y-V-E-R-S. Rivers Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A, the last name. Again, that is Rivers, R-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind, if you would ever so kindly, that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I would like you to keep in mind is that the first R in Rivers, capitalized. S in Shukla, capitalized. So make a note of that, if you would, ever so kindly. The verse I want to sow into your life tonight goes like this. He who soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What does it mean, bountifully? Above and beyond. A lot. You sow a little, you could sow more, but you don't. God calls that sowing sparingly. The Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks upon the heart. That's what the Lord looks at, the heart. It's not about how many dollars you put in. It's about the heart. That's what he looks at. And so whoops, sorry about that. But anyhow, you know, I just thank God for those of you who have sown your seed. And I always try to bring you a verse that you can sow so that you can have a verse in mind as you sow your seed. Because I think that that's important. Amen. going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord this evening. Liz said I'm going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight. Breaking off every chain and the fear that held me, I refuse to agree with the lies they told me. I take up my position, speak to all my conditions, take the authority you are for me. The word of the Lord in my mouth to bring about the change. Full of your power, I step out, declare loud your praise, I'll prophesy. Oh, oh, I'll prophesy. I'll prophesy. Yeah. Oh. I'm stepping up to become what you call me. I believe in your work and your spirit in me. I take up my position, speak to all my conditions, take the authority you are for me. The word of the Lord in my mouth to bring about the change. Full of your power, I step out, declare aloud your praise, I'll prophesy. Oh, I'll prophesy. I'll prophesy. I praise you, God, for every victory. I praise you, God, your spirit lives in me. I praise you, your power rests on me. Praise you, God, for every victory. I praise you, God, your spirit lives in me. I praise you, your power rests on me. The word of the Lord in my mouth to bring about the change. Full of your power, I step out, declare aloud your praise, I'll prophesy. I'll prophesy. Oh, oh, I'll prophesy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I raise a hallelujah. Everything inside of me. I'll raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody.
I raise a hallelujah. Fear you've lost your hold on me. Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roll. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear you brought your hold on me. Lord, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Oh, louder, louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing the water, sing the water, sing the water, sing the water, yeah, sing the water in the presence of an enemy, sing a little louder. Fear you've lost your hold on me. Fear a little louder. My weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder, louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Yeah, I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Eternal end. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your birth in us. So we pour out our praise, you holy. So you give life. You are love. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Oh, though the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Yeah. All the earth will shout your praise. The hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in us. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are to us, for what you mean to us. Thank you, Master, for what you're doing and for each and every one of us. Thank you, Master, for your hand being on our life. It's great to serve you, Master. It's great to know that you are on our side. Great to know that you're fighting for us. It's great to know that we can turn to you in times of need. It's great to know, Master, that we can worship you and praise you for what you've done. You're doing right now what you're going to do. And we can worship you and make mention of your name. And I thank you for that and for what you mean to each one of us. Thank you that as we study your word tonight, that each person would take something from your word that they can use in their own life and put to practice. And thank you, Master, for what you are doing for the listeners right now. Thank you that you are meeting the needs of every listener. You're healing bodies, strengthening minds, working things out for people. That provision comes to them. That guidance comes. Thank you for what you're doing. For you know what these people have need of. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, And now I'll make my confession over this program. I speak that in your name, Jesus, that finances come into this program, that sponsors come into this program, that increases in listenership. More and more people will find this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom because of this program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Numbers 20. Amen. Numbers chapter 20. I'd appreciate it. Amen. Numbers chapter 20. And I'll begin with verse number 1. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God. I don't know where we would be without it. I'll begin with verse number 1. As I had mentioned that I would. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of, with a Z. I didn't say desert of sin. I said desert of Zin. The desert of Zin. And they stayed at Kadesh. There, Miriam died and was buried. Now, there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses. They quarreled with Moses. And said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert? That we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain, no figs, no grapevines, or pomegranates. And there is no water or ice cream. Okay, I added that. There is no water to drink. Verse 6. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. See some disobedience, listeners. But I'll come back to that. Water gushed out from the community, and their livestock drank.
But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land that I give them. Just turn on the page. Verse 13. These were the waters of Meribah where the Israelites quarreled of the Lord, under which he showed himself holy among them. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom, saying, this is what your brother Israel says. You know about all the come upon us. Our forefathers went down into Egypt, and we lived there many years. The Egyptians mistreated us and our fathers. But when we cried out to the Lord, he heard our cry and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. Now we are here at Kadesh, a town on the edge of your territory. Please let us pass through your country. We will not go through any field or vineyard or drink water from any well. We will travel along the king's highway and not turn to the right or to the left until we have passed through your territory. But Edom answered, you may not pass through here. If you try, we will march out and attack you with the sword. And the Israelites replied, we will go along the main road. And if we, while livestock, drink any of your water, we will pay for it. We only want to pass through on foot, nothing else. Again, they answered, you may not pass through. Then Edom came out against them with a large and powerful army. Since Edom refused to let them go through their territory, Israel turned away from them. The whole Israelite community set out from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. At Mount Hor, near the border of Edom, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Aaron will be gathered to his people. He will not enter the land that I give the Israelites because of you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. Get Aaron and his son Eleazar and take them up Mount Hor. Remove Aaron's garments and put them on his son Eleazar, who will be gathered to his people. He will die there. Moses did as the Lord commanded. Turn on the page. They went up Mount Hor in the sight of the whole community. Moses removed Aaron's garments, put them on his son Eleazar. Aaron died there. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. And when the whole community learned Aaron had died, the entire house of Israel mourned for him 30 days. So, you see, folks, the Israelites, after a long journey, you know, you would be thirsty, but they're in a desert. And in the desert, generally, normally, it'll be hot, at least during the day. Some deserts get cold at night, but these people didn't have water. and they got to where they were growing for water. They're like, gets to where they're like, oh, we don't have water. And they're like, we need water. And they're like, did you bring us out here to die? And you know, reached the Lord, and then God told Moses something to do. Told Moses and Aaron something to do. We need water to survive. You know, we're 70% water. So he gave Moses and Aaron a specific commandment. Said, go to this rock and speak to it. Speak to it. Said, if you speak to it, water will come out. Speak to it. Moses and Aaron go up to that rock. Moses takes that staff out. He takes that rod out, puts it in his hand, puts it up towards that rock. God told him to speak to it. But instead, and you know what? God was not so happy with him. God, because God gave, sounds to me like, if God says speak to a rock, to me, you know, listeners, to me, that sounds pretty clear. That sounds pretty cut and paste. It doesn't sound like it's too hard to understand. It doesn't. They're told, go to the rock, speak to it, speak. Water comes out, so the people still get the water. But you see, God reveals to Moses. God talks to Moses and Aaron. You know what he tells him? He says, you know what? Because you did not obey me, Moses and Aaron, you will not be the one who takes the people to where, to the next, like to the promised land. And then later on, and then near the end of the chapter, Aaron ends up dying from a mountain. And it was because Moses and Aaron disobeyed God. You may say, yeah, but Moses was an awesome leader. He wasn't a great leader, but you got it. Follow God's instructions. And the instructions that he gave Moses and Aaron about the rock, they don't sound very hard to interpret to me. Sound very hard to interpret. I don't know if he was angry or what. I mean, Moses was probably thirsty too. Unless he had a hidden water stash that nobody knew about. I mean, we didn't have Walmarts and Kroger's and all those stores back then that Moses could have went to hoard water. Maybe he hoarded water, but it was all for himself. But no, I don't think he was thirsty. Awesome. But honestly,
That was still disobedience because God told him something to do. He did not do it. Well, water came out. Yeah, but here's the thing. Disobedience to God has consequences. Obedience to God has rewards. But I don't obey God just so I can get a reward by any means. Shouldn't be doing that. Not like meant to be like something like you do it as an incentive. Oh, yeah, if you do this, you'll get, you know, a blessing of this. And you'll get a blessing of, you know. It's not meant to be like that. But if you get the... God meant for it to be that people, I mean that Moses and Aaron would speak to the rock, water would come out. And he knew that the people were quarreling. God knew. So they had their water, but then but Moses and Aaron, you know, they had to pay for what they did. And when God tells you to obey, you obey God. You obey God. And you don't ever apologize for obeying God. You never apologize for obeying God. Never. You know, you just obey. Feel bad about it. Just do what he tells you to do. Maybe he wanted this. Oh, I don't know. It's not like technology was that advanced to where it was like, if you strike the track twice, it will make the water pour out at triple the volume as if you speak to it. That's not the way I understand it. Do you? I don't see it. Did it have a sensor on it? Double tap to activate, like our phones. Yeah, like on my phone. I can double tap to open something. You know, like messages or, you know, to open, you know, different programs or to open an app or whatever. I don't think the rock came with a double strike. But God told Moses not to use it. I mean, yeah, the technology back then was so advanced. Not! I mean, after all, we read in the Old Testament about tablets. What they're like writing tablets. They're not the iPad. So, not to give you all any ideas, but... You see, sometimes you got to be able to look at the humorous side of things. You do. But anyhow, you know, when God says to do something, it won't always be as easy as like what God told Moses. Obviously. Speak to a rock. That sounds kind of easy. But I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe he didn't think. Maybe he thought, oh, The Rock will not understand speech, but it'll understand other forms of activation. What God wanted was him to use his faith. Faith. That's what I think it was. Faith. Trust. Because God said, cause you did not trust me and honor me. Because what he did by striking the rock was, in fact, dishonorable to God. It was dishonorable in the sight of God. Dishonorable. Let me tell you something about this honor thing. If honor is in you, guess what? Honor will come out of you. It will. Honor is in you. Honor will come out of you. It will. I honor the Lord. One way I honor him is tithe, offering, praying, you know, obeying his word. That's a form of honor. It's when you do the opposite. All right. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that we would get it, that we would get it in our hearts, that we would choose to obey you. May we choose to be obedient to your word and to be honorable to your kingdom. To follow your word. Do what it says. Keep to just whatever you tell us to do, we'll do it. And I thank you, Lord, that we would be those that do your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.